You're welcome. I'm accepting your praise in advance. This is Medium Clever. Your host, Brett Medill, with me as always, the Peppermint Louse, Sean Stewart.
That is me.
Our producer, the People's Champ, Brant Bobby.
That is Brant.
And this week's guest, stand-up comedian and host of YouTube series Library Outreach, yeah, Adam Schwartz.
Oh, snap.
Welcome, Adam.
Thank you.
Welcome to Medium Clever Studios. Very professional, super amazing setup and all that.
In sunny California.
In sunny Southern California, you'll find Century City, California.
I feel like I'm getting a
tan. Yeah,
this, sunny it is, this show is radioactive, and it'll totally tan your shit up. You can tell by looking
sterilize you
any
as well.
Pictures of me that can be seen online, I'm clearly very tan as a
your
result of
get brown.
Podcasting.
It gets green.
It's not
it
really
greenish brown.
Like we call it California. It's really because we bought discount equipment and it's radioactive. It wasn't really a good idea.
But, no.
But hey, this is how we do. There's a lot of wires everywhere. It's what happens.
Nothing. Yeah, it's okay to get sterilized every once in a while if it's for the good of the comedy community.
Really, do we really want comedians procreating that much?
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea.
I don't know if they can afford to procreate.
They can afford to? Like they have to purchase some sex?
Maybe.
Ugh, I wish I could afford to knock up a hooker.
Why would you want to knock up a hooker?
Well, he said procreating. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or we just can't afford to raise babies.
Yeah, like okay. They'd have like no
I suppose that's
income.
A more reasonable direction to go
that would, yeah,
with that particular concept.
You wouldn't want to knock up a hooker. That's just bad news. I've been there. Let me tell you. Bad news bears all over the place.
There's a lot of knives and stabbing involved if you knock up a hooker. Coat hangers.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
A lot of bathtubs with lye. But anyways, what's new with you, Adam Schwartz?
Yeah.
Not much.
Not much?
I'm in the one pays wackiest contest.
Nice.
All right.
Winnipeg's gone wacky.
I think people should support my favorite charity, Autistic Comedians of Winnipeg, and vote for my video on Winnipeg's Gone Wacky.
Is the website winnipegsgonewacky.com?
I don't know.
Where is it on the free press?
I think it's like
site?
On the Hot 103.
Hot 103?
Posted by Hot 103.
Hot 103? Free
I
press?
So.
I rely on everything for Google.
Yeah, Google's pretty much all you need.
Hey, so are you saying that we don't even have to know the URL, but that anyone who's listening could actually just Google Winnipeg's Gone Wacky and probably find it?
Wow. That's
what a concept. I hear they have internet.
Fucking get on it, people listening.
Next time I'm in an internet cafe, I will definitely check that out.
I'm going to check this Google out next time I'm on an internet.
Once I'm... Oh, did you ever go to like an internet cafe? Ever? In your life?
No, I've been to like one of those gaming places where they like charge you a couple bucks an hour to play video games.
Okay.
But I never actually played video games there. I just watched people.
Like, I remember.
Which, I don't know if that's sadder than actually buying time to play video games. But
well, I got to remember paying to use the internet at the library in Swan River.
Really?
When we were growing up. Yeah. Like I remember because we had the internet at school. But I didn't have internet access at home. Like, didn't have a computer that was even good enough to internet with. You know, like
true it wasn't like 200 megahertz.
Like my 1993 computer just wasn't gonna globetrotter it up enough to be an internet machine.
I did pay to use the internet in Europe.
Oh yeah, I did that as well.
Europe can be pretty ghetto. Once when I was in a Paris washroom, they didn't even have the toilet seat.
Really?
You just had to kind of school
hover
up there.
That's unfortunate.
And when you think of...
Maybe someone stole it.
I thought Europe was all cultured. How do you get such rich culture in Europe? Well, first things first, get rid of all the toilet seats.
That's a classy thing to do.
That's what'll take care of this.
No, there's probably like an underground ring where people are stealing toilet seats for money.
Black market toilet seat ring.
Black market toilet seats
for Russia because they don't have enough toilet seats in Russia.
Yeah.
So people are stealing them from
Russia's
France.
Russia's got quite the economy. They import women and export women and import toilet seats.
Yeah.
It's a thriving black market for all men. Pretty soon, Russia will just be overrun with dudes who have very comfortable shits. And no women. And isn't that
just the life, though? Comfortable shits.
Yeah, that's a lot better than having a woman in your life. Just having really excellent bowel movements. That's as satisfying as a real relationship.
So, did you hear about how the WTF week thus far were trying to get rid of Ben Walker and replace him with Bill Pats? Unfortunately, they couldn't get Bill Pats passed through the network because of his sketchy background with gerbils.
Oh, brutal.
And you know what? The worst thing is really, like, when you put those gerbils where they shouldn't belong and they die, then your rectum is haunted by gerbil ghosts.
That's the
which
worst.
Is appropriate to the time of year, I suppose. This should be online by the time Halloween rolls around.
We're hoping. Or like the next year's Halloween.
So Bill Pats is going as a man who's haunted by rectal gerbil ghosts?
I don't know if he wants to actually come out in the open with that information.
He probably would want to keep that to himself.
Well, yeah. It's too late now, Bill Pats. You've been exposed, you anal gerbil user. Abuser.
I wonder how OBC feels about them trying to get rid of him on the show.
He probably doesn't feel too good about it.
Are they actually trying to get rid of OBC? It's an
unfounded rumor that I may have just made up 5 seconds ago.
Okay. He just made it up.
Well, I haven't watched the show in a couple weeks, so I don't know. I don't know if they had like a thing going on the show, but yeah, okay.
I hear OBC's getting like too big for them.
OBC's he's blowing up.
Yep.
He's doing a show all the way in Sexy Regina.
Him and Ashy.
Yeah, they're opening for some. I can't remember who now.
So, an Edmonton comic, was it? Somebody Ash knew, or
couldn't tell you. Well,
whatever.
Likely,
good for them. And Aisha, yeah. I saw today there was a story on CBC.ca for Aisha going to Vegas. To
I read
perform.
That too. Mm-hmm. Sound like some good times.
Aisha's got a brother whose name is very funny, Ishmael or Alpha or something like that.
Ishmael.
Okay. I don't know her brother personally.
I was just listening to him on the news, the radio the other day. They're like,
okay.
And now coming up with a report from Ishmael Alpha.
Okay, so he's on the radio?
Mm-hmm. The whole entertainment industry family.
I guess so.
Nice.
Clearly. But Winnipeg Comics are, there's...
But yeah.
Some people are making money now and doing Ishmael's things.
A life coach. I wouldn't mind finding out what that consists of and getting some life coaching. My life's not going anywhere very fast. It could use some direction. Maybe a little practice. Maybe some having her walking around behind me just being like, go left, go left.
Yeah, that's great. That's what life coaches do.
I really need some directions.
It really is so what do you do? Well, I work 40 hours a week. I follow around Adam Schwartz and I tell him exactly where to go all the time.
When
I just
stop.
Run his life for him. When to stop.
When to yield. Yielding's important in life.
When to stop being like, Adam, you're going almost close to being offside. Let's have a timeout and discuss your approach to picking up this woman. And how you shouldn't
just
compliment her fingernails.
Just pay Aisha to be your wingman.
Yeah, there you go.
Paid I don't know what else
like
life part-time
coach
would
wingman.
Do.
I think there's a lot of it's like a personal motivational speaker. That's what I think of life coaching. It's just like someone
not in the field, not walking around behind people being like, okay, Adam, I don't think she's into you. I think you should go for the girl on the left. Adam, you've been creepy.
You're crossing the line. Stop.
Stop it.
And scene.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I don't know.
That's a wrap. That's all the time we have on Medium Clever.
All right, so if you're a life coach, yay!
So I've got
good
a new series coming up.
Okay.
It's called Adam the Librarian, Special Services.
Nice.
And what kind of special services?
I'm going to give you an episode, a monologue from... upcoming episode that may or may not ever be made.
Okay.
Okay. God damn it, Adam. This is going to be dangerous. Adam, damn it, I'm going to go undercover, dress up as an exotic stripper to find out where those people hid their books. Because they're 4 months overdue. We must make sure that those books get returned. Lives are at stake, people.
That is intense.
Yeah, that's like a really like a cryptic secret agent series.
And then it goes, Adam, special services.
I'm beginning to see a theme within the themes of the songs for these potential programs.
You mean that they're exactly the same?
That, I may have been dancing around that a little bit, but yeah, you're on the right track. That's pretty much what I was thinking. And I'm okay with that. It's branding. It's the Adam the Librarian brand.
One's a talk show and the other one's an action TV show all about how Adam, the librarian, goes about trying to make people return their books and their overdue fines. Hey, bring that back, that book.
That's a first edition Slaughterhouse 5. Pony it up. Or else I'll paper cut you.
You think I'm not going to use this chain for some unknown reasons to make you bring back those books? Think again. Do you feel lucky, punk? Well, do ya?
Brought to you by the letter Q. And then Q gives you your secret gadgets.
And your town's local library.
Well, the Dewey Decimal. Adam the librarian's girlfriend in that show's name is Anita Bookmark.
Nice. Because who doesn't need a bookmark?
And I was thinking about having J.D. Renault, local comedian extraordinaire, in it. And having Ash as Chief Inspector Bookum. And then being like, so, J.Comedy. It's J.D.
This is a remarkably fleshed out concept for a show.
I think you should film it.
And then he'll be like, it's J, D comedy, J comedy. And then he'll be like, J space, okay, J space comedy.
J.
I love this show. I at least want like a teaser trailer for
least.
Yeah, exactly. At least like a 1 minute, you like get a tuxedo on and pose ominously in the stacks, you know?
And like throw books at people?
Yeah, throwing books. Well, no, because that could damage the books.
Well,
it's
I mean,
not
like
the King
throw,
Kong.
I mean,
like, you can like, tape them up so they don't like fly all over the
whole
place.
Point is to save the books. Sean, not to damage them. Or are there some books that are okay to damage? What book would you throw at somebody?
I don't know.
And you wouldn't care about what happened to it.
There are some bad books out there, like Twilight.
Okay, so you can throw Stephanie Meyer books.
But yeah, he has a whole backstory of how his dad was about to become won Jeopardy, but the book that he was gonna need wasn't returned on time, and so his dad became an alcoholic, and they lost everything. So
he's taking a solemn vow
to making sure that books get in on time, so that more lives aren't ruined.
Exactly, that's his backstory.
By the furies of alcohol.
If only that copy of ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics had been in stock, Dad would have won Final Jeopardy, and our lives would have been different.
That's exactly what it's like.
That is awesome.
This is great. I love it. This is the perfect TV show.
So what are you guys currently reading?
They would eat it. I was going to turn it around on you. I was watching some library outreach today, and I'm going to give Adam the library outreach treatment. I'm rereading Freakonomics for like a two-person book club that I'm in.
Oh, that's interesting. Is Sean the other person?
No,
I'm not the other person.
Anyway, you can find that book in
the other person doesn't exist. What?
You'd find the book in the 599 according to the Dewey Decimal System in the economic section.
Nice.
That's dropping some knowledge.
And Sean, what are you currently reading?
I am currently reading, well, I guess I'm restarting.
I see a theme that you guys don't really read new books. You just keep rereading the ones that you've read.
I've only read Freakonomics. Freakonomics is the only book that I own or have read, and I just read it over and over and over again.
I'm currently reading Dress Your Family in Denim and Corduroy by David Sedaris, which is a very funny dude.
Yeah, he is.
So like his, what are your thoughts about capri pants? They're not pants, and they're
you know what? I fucking hate capri pants. I don't get capri pants at all. Who wears pants up to their kneecap? It makes no goddamn sense. They are shorts, people. Get it right.
And they're really only for ladies.
And yeah, like for kids.
And
they're kids' pants. How about that?
To take it one step further. Okay, so capris, they're out. And then what's the fuck is the clam digger doing? Who are you kidding, clam digger?
Fucking kidding.
You're not fooling anybody,
motherfucker.
Like a 3/4 length pant? Are you serious?
Really? You're gonna do that?
You're gonna do that,
motherfucker.
That's, you classless piece of shit. Go fucking dig some clams.
Pants are interesting.
You poor bastard. Digging clams is for the poor and the indigent.
Poor or the very entrepreneurial.
I hope you get mercury poisoning from those horrible clams.
About runners and shorts. Can you only wear sandals with shorts?
No, I think you can wear shoe with your shorts.
You can wear sandals with jeans too. It just looks kind of weird.
This is like this lobby version of JQ or those magazines. What do sexy slobs wear?
Okay, you guys. Let's do the quiz.
All right, put on your superhero themed T-shirt.
But on bad news, they're ending Chuck. I mean, that show was getting pretty bad at the end. But that Yvonne Yankovic or whatever her name is,
The hot girl. I'm guessing
Sarah,
the girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And Chuck, she was pretty hot.
That's true. But I thought Chuck ended like 2 years ago.
It should have ended 2 years ago. It began getting bad.
Yeah.
But it didn't?
No, they just kept it going, I guess.
They never end shows in a regular fashion. Shows in America last for way too long.
Do you agree with me that the British model for television is better? Or somewhere in between would be better.
Somewhere in between, they could have watched extras or The Office longer.
Absolutely, yeah, totally. I could have done with another dozen episodes of extras easily. But but it is nice because really, do you really need 8 seasons of Will and Grace?
Or 6 seasons of Weeds?
Or 10 seasons of Friends?
Weeds could have ended after season 3.
Yeah, that, and I would have been happy with that. That's about the perfect time for that to have ended. I'm done. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I realize that I watch too much shows and cutting them out. Getting rid of some.
Seems like it could go on forever, but it doesn't really seem like it's going in any fluid direction. It's just about a psycho killer.
They're just keeping it afloat.
But it is still kind of a solid show. Like, it does progress eventually.
I love the show. I'm not putting it down. I love watching a psycho killer. I mean, I hate people with all these human emotions and
finally a character that Adam can relate to.
I mean, other people are just too complex for me.
Dexter is just so easy. He just kills people.
Find them, kill them.
He's got the same nice emotional level as me.
Except you're not using your library powers to kill people. Only in Adam the Librarian Secret Service.
We're not talking about Adam the Librarian. We're talking about Adam Schwartz here.
The Schwarzenegger.
You're right, Adam Schwartz.
Adam the Librarian is a very complex character.
Adam the Librarian's far more complex than Adam Schwartz.
Indeed. I wonder if Dexter will have other spinoffs, though. Like the rapist who only rapes other rapists.
The rapist who kills or rapes bad people.
The thief that only steals from thieves.
Who goes in the necrophiliac who only...
the racist who only says slander towards other racists.
Yeah.
Goes to KK clan meetings and starts making fun of KK people. Being like, white people, what's the deal with them? They look like... they're so pale,
The laundry man that breaks into your house and cleans your clothes.
However, going back to the TV shows, I need to give props to Vince Gilligan, creator of Breaking Bad.
For sure.
For having the balls to say, we're done after 5 seasons. We have the story where we want it, where we're going to put it, and we're going to end it, and then that's it.
But even one of the best shows ever, The Wire.
Yeah. Yeah.
That last season wasn't really as good as the other ones.
Because they had to tie it up, and they only had 10 episodes to tie it up.
The first 5 seasons were so good, and then the season 6.
I think it was five seasons total, I think.
Okay. Season five didn't live up to the...
Yeah, I mean, I still loved it because I needed to see the end of the story, and I liked it anyway, but yeah.
I still loved it because it's such a good show, but
yeah, it wasn't as good as season 3 and 4 were probably the best, right? And the first season was really good, too.
I always loved the first season of everything just because it's where how things begin. I'm like, Batman's really good, but how did it all begin? I mean, I could watch him fight crime forever, but why did he make the choice that he made?
Why did he do it, yeah.
Why did he decide to dress like a bat?
And then Christopher Nolan made Batman Begins and answered all the questions.
He just hit you in the face with answers.
But
with a big fist of answers.
They're remaking so many different theories. Like, they're making another Three Musketeers.
Oh, yeah, don't worry, we're going to talk about that.
We're
going to talk about that terrible piece of shit.
How about the Thing remake of the remake?
Well, no, Kate, it's technically not a remake. Technically, it's a prequel, but really it's like somewhere in between. Like, it's supposed to be like the Norwegian scientists that are all dead, that then the people from the John Carpenter film find the Thing after it leaves them. Like, they find... the Norwegian scientists' camp all, like, exploded and shit. And then they bring the alien back to their camp. But, yeah.
Why?
For basically the same thing to happen to them that happened to the Norwegians.
And then another hilarious thing about shows is when they continue after the main star is gone. Like
The Office? Scrubs did it.
They're like, we lost all our stars, but the theory, there's still so much hype that
we're gonna keep on trucking.
That '70s show.
Yeah, the last season was really bad.
Have any show like that lasted more than one season after the star leaves?
I couldn't tell you. Two and a Half Men might.
Oh, but yeah. Knows?
People love Two and a Half Men for some reason.
It really is. It's like the most successful comedy on TV.
Mm-hmm. Next to Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory's eclipsed it.
I think it's either number one or number two right now.
That's so fucking sad. That hurts. My heart hurts when I hear things like that.
I mean, whatever. People are going to like what they're going to like. Comedy's a subjective.
I know.
The thing is, in order to make anything so mainstream that everyone will like it, you lose all quality in it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The Louis C.K. show will never be huge.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's so good.
But at the same time, it's not exactly funny all the time.
No,
like there's a lot of, but I guess it's
really well made.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's well written, and he does a good job of playing his version of Louis on that show, right? Like,
yeah, definitely.
You're right. You sacrifice something when you leave behind that specificity and try to appeal to the larger audience. You have to, in order to appeal to the larger audience, you have to be more broad.
You have to lose your goodness.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
You gotta sell your soul.
It definitely seems that way.
Would you buy my soul, Brett?
I don't know. Your soul's pretty shitty.
I'm gonna pitch you my soul. Okay, ready?
Do I have to take on... how much of your debt do I have to take on if I buy your soul?
Well, you're just taking on my soul, not my debt.
Your soul doesn't have any debt?
No.
No karmic?
So.
Does your soul... are you telling me your soul doesn't have any karmic debt?
I have killed a few baby chicks. That's got to be worth a couple negative karma points.
How many karma points do you think you lost for emptying out a barrel of pig faces?
Well, no, I didn't empty it out. I filled it up.
Oh, you filled it up.
So I think I got positive karma for that.
I might disagree. Like, what are you doing? Oh, just taking these pig faces from on the floor where they are now. Just a pile of faces.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know anything about...
this is Halloween appropriate. And I'm going to fill this barrel with them. And then what? That just makes me think of Louis' bit about duck vaginas.
Duck vaginas.
I don't really know anything about karma, but I do know that Melanie Dolling, local comedy sweetheart, told me that my aura is diarrheic.
Diarrheic? That sounds important.
Okay, I think we're... that is terrible and a horrible thing for her to say to you. But that's glossing over the fact but that's also kind of glossing over the fact that the real point in that sentence to me was Melanie Dolling believes in auras.
She's an actress, of course she believes in auras. She has all kinds of rocks in her pocket.
Yo, my crystals, gotta have crystals. Power crystals.
The only crystal for me is crystal meth.
Well,
I think that's... yeah. I think everybody here can agree. Am I right?
I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that.
I don't know. There was a good crystal in porn the other day.
Crystal porn?
No. There's a lot of girls in porn named Crystal.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Well, Crystal is such a slutty name, though.
That's not better than Crystal Meth, though, Adam.
That's true. Crystal Meth is pretty good.
I'm not saying that it's better. I'm just saying that it's also good Crystal.
Two guys who have clearly done a lot of Crystal Meth in their life.
Well, Crystal Meth is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, you smoke it, then the crystals grow in your skin, and then you can pull them off and smoke them again. Gift that keeps on giving.
You smoke the crystals. I thought you would have to sell the crystals in order to buy more crystal meth.
Hey, I'm gonna sell this crystal meth to this porn girl named Crystal. We're gonna, I don't know, something.
Name the movie Crystal Cubes.
Crystal Cubes?
Yeah, cubes of meth. I guess you can't really do cubes of meth. Never mind, fuck that. Sean, you're
an idiot.
Is it
like sugar cube? You just put it in your coffee, you stir in your meth cube, and crystal cubes, and like, no one has to know you're a meth head.
Exactly.
Like, no, this coffee just really puts a zip in my step.
It makes me energized and sad at the same time.
I get so much work done for 10 minutes, and I sleep.
I just crash for 7 hours. It's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. It's the way to do it.
I think the first time I ever learned about crystal meth was probably like, was that in the Val Kilmer movie, The Salt and Sea? There's a guy without a nose. Or Spun. Spun was about crystal meth.
Yeah, Spun was about meth. Yeah, sure. That's for sure.
Was Mickey Rourke in that?
Yeah, he was the cook.
Jason Schwartzman. Yeah, okay. Spun. Yeah, yeah. That wasn't a good movie.
It wasn't at all. I remember, what's his name, getting shot in the balls.
Jason Schwartzman has done so much work, I can't tell you what it looks like, but he's everywhere.
I really like him. Then Bored to Death, that's a really good TV show.
I still haven't fucking seen that.
Jason Schwartzman's good. Ted Danson is amazing on it.
And the Zatchman.
And Zach Galifianakis is too. Like, those are the three core cast members.
Yeah.
Ted Danson is brilliant on it. And now he's on CSI? Ted Danson replaced Lawrence Fishburne on CSI this season.
Nice.
He's the star of CSI.
It almost makes me not want to watch CSI because I never watched CSI.
I watched CSI. The only time I ever watched CSI was I was substitute teaching at Oak Park High School for a week. Physics teacher, the guy taught physics and calculus. He was gone for a week. And for like half of the classes all week, we watched CSI and CSI Miami.
So you substitute teach at high school?
Not anymore, but I used to.
He used to be a big substitute.
I was a substitute teacher.
So you must have had lots of sexy times. Girls been like, I'll do anything for an A.
No, that's only in porn. No, that doesn't actually happen. Like,
yes, the substitute teacher is responsible for your grades. You'd better trade underage sex to me for them.
Except for in real life, the girl would be like absolutely hideous.
Suck your dick. Ah! No. Go away. No, not a lot of sexy times in substitute teaching. That's when I'm not doing it anymore. Not because I was looking for sex, but I mean because it was a soul crushing experience is what I'm really trying to say.
Well, I mean, you get a bunch of like kids who don't care about their education.
It's like being a temp, except you with better hours, you feel less valuable.
You know, have you ever been an actual temp?
Yes, I have been a temp.
I don't know. You briefly. Can feel pretty unvaluable as a temp.
Well, being a substitute teacher it's being a temp teacher.
Well, yeah.
So, you're a temp, but you get to be off work at 3:30.
That's a bonus.
And most of your day is sitting there doing fuck all. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of crosswords when I was a substitute teacher. I'm not ashamed to say it. I haven't gotten any better at them. I'm still only managing the Monday, Tuesday New York Times crosswords.
I'm obsessed with Sudoku.
Yeah? Sudoku is so good.
I mean, I'm not really into the whole manga or the Japanese girls dressing like little schoolgirls, but they did do a good Sudoku.
Vending machine. Sudoku, yeah. Sushi, Japanese, no Sudoku. Sushi, good. Sudoku, all right.
Have you ever
played
P-Cross?
Patties from a vending machine, crossing the line, Japan.
Yeah, a little bit. Birthing fetish porn, way over that line.
What fetish?
Birthing fetish.
Birthing fetish?
Remember we were talking about that last episode?
Oh,
with,
no, I don't.
The Tim
Gray.
Was
that with Mike Green?
No, Tim Gray.
Birthing fetish. That's... No, I really hope, remember
I don't
that.
Think
That's
that exists,
gross.
But if it does, fuck you, Japan.
So how many episodes have you guys filmed so far?
We filmed about 800. We've recorded about 9.
Yeah, this is episode 9.
So who have you had on your illustrious couch?
We've had Ryan Ash, Bill Patz, J.D. Renault, Mike Green, Tim Gray.
And Dan Hewen.
Dan Hewen. And Adam Schwartz. So you and there's two Adam episodes Schwartz. That... Are
we just did by ourselves.
So you haven't had any females on your casting couch?
That is correct.
Not yet. Or we haven't released those tapes yet. That's for... I don't think any of the ladies want to talk to us.
Most likely. I mean, no. I wouldn't put it past them. And I wouldn't hold it against them either. No. I mean, I understand.
Oh, I'd hold it against them.
I think you would have a pretty good conversation with Chantel Morosica about what qualities are sexy in a female.
Okay.
And which female celebrities you guys would do.
A lot of them. A lot of them. Mm. There's a lot of them. Yeah. Where'd you start? We don't need to get into this.
But, yeah.
Celebrities?
So I've got this new jokes about going to the gym, like, how cardiovascular exercise is so pretentious of a name for running on the spot.
Or just like you're dressing it up. Like,
and how
fancy
about
language.
All the big, really muscular people who look like the Roman gladiators? You think that they're hockey players or football players or boxers or something, but they're just working up to get big. I mean, you would think that someone would put them to work like lifting really, really heavy groceries. Or something. They can pull my sleigh. Come on, Dixon. Come on, Jameson. Come on, Derek. Mush.
My roommate has about 100 pounds of protein supplements over there. Literally. Like, there's
like a billion.
There's
pounds.
A lot of workout
there's a
supplements
whole
in this apartment
dedicated
that
to
are
protein.
Not mine. But so, and you know what? I didn't understand it, but. He likes to work out, and he believes that his workouts are more effective when he spends a lot of money on supplements.
On the proteins.
So, whatever. To each his own, I guess.
Well,
but,
no pain, no gain.
That is true. You need to feel pain in order to gain.
Especially in the wallet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Fucking gym memberships, supplements, steroids. Steroids are expensive, you guys.
But totally worth
expensive.
It.
Totally worth it. You get on the steroids for a little while, you juice up, then you bag groceries for a year, let it work itself out of the system.
Yeah.
Then you become a professional sports something.
I didn't want to say anything, but I've been injecting foot steroids. Can you guys tell?
Oh my God,
your feet
look
pretty
fucking
big.
I know,
juiced,
right?
Man.
They are.
What can you lift?
Best.
What do you do on toe lifts?
I don't lift with my toes.
Oh
no, it's just mostly
ankle.
for lifts.
Just oh, just how, I, well, but you still have to work them. The steroids don't just make you big; they just make
that's
your workouts
true.
More effective.
Well, I mean, I crunch my toes a lot.
So you do toe crunches.
I do a lot of toe crunches.
Like toe fists in the carpet.
No, like 5,000.
What
day.
Do you think the most
like
important 5, part of the foot is? It the toes, the ankle, or the heel?
Sorry, say that again.
What's the most important part of the foot? The toes, the ankle, or the heel?
I'm
ankle.
Say the big toe.
Ankle.
I'm going with the heel.
Why is the heel the most important?
I don't know. The arch is also pretty important. I mean, they make everything archy these days.
Well, look at this fucking arch, you guys.
Oh my God, that arch is out of control.
That is like the goddamn golden arch.
That's
right
the
there.
That's that fucking St. Louis arch right
yeah,
there.
Better believe
it's
it.
It's huge and
the San
made
Francisco
of cement.
Golden arch.
The golden arches. That's golden what I refer arches. To my feet. My feet are the golden arches.
Yep.
Because I have a lot of athlete's foot and they're yellow.
And I eat a lot of McDonald's.
It's the yeah, it's working its way out of your system.
It's,
you're like,
yeah, it's going
I've
into
got,
the feet.
I got feet jaundice.
Feet jaundice.
Yeah, it's just feet jaundice. They're yellow. It's no big deal. Whatever. Let's take a break. Come back. We'll be right back on Medium Clever. Oh, that's good. All right, welcome back to Medium Clever. Peppermint Louse, what's up?
Everything's good. Fine and dandy. Yeah.
Fine and dandy like something.
Fine and dandy like peppermint lollipops on a rainy day. Yeah.
Let's start this second segment by turning the tables on Adam Schwartz.
So, what are you dressing up as for Halloween?
No,
motherfucker,
no.
Motherfucker, you
no,
can't
you're
do
not
that.
Getting out of this. We're going right to it. We're cutting you to the quick. When was the last time you were in a library?
Yesterday. I went to work at the library.
That's what I thought you'd say. How many times a day do you hear someone say library?
Library.
I'm stumped.
You don't ever hear someone mispronounce library and say library?
Not that I notice.
Oh.
He probably just tunes it out he's heard
that's
it so many times.
Yeah, because I'm sure. Or maybe people that say library don't go to the library.
That's also possible.
That's probably the
that's
way
probably
it goes.
What it is, yeah.
What are you currently reading?
Well, other than textbooks, I'm reading The Omen Machine by Terry Goodkind. It's a part of the series of The Sword in the Not Stone.
Sounds intense.
So King Arthur's in it?
No.
So it's a different sword and a stone?
Yes.
Okay.
All swords need to be put in stone when they're not in use.
That is true. That is the best storage for a sword.
So it's like it's a fantasy book?
Yeah.
Cool.
I just found my old favorite fantasy series, Legend of the Five Rings. Basically, the best way to describe it is Lord of the Rings in feudal Japan. It's 7 books long, and I'm probably going to reread that one of these days.
So, what are you guys dressing up as for Halloween?
Halloween? Well, nothing. I have no plans for what to dress up as for Halloween.
I'm totally just going to the Comedy House on Halloween dressed up, and I'm just going to have my own little party. If no one else is there, I'm just going to dance by myself and
just gonna stand in the patio and just dance. Yeah, it's probably the best thing to do. I'm gonna go as Kick-Ass and scare children somehow.
Well, it's real
That's
easy.
My plan.
He's like, "Hey kids, I'm gonna rape you." That'll scare them.
I'm gonna drink a lot of absinthe, drop some acid, and just wander Transcona,
hitting people
looking
with
at children.
Hitting kids with nunchucks. Hey,
I saw World War III happen.
Hey, that overweight Kick-Ass is hitting kids with nunchucks.
Can you even get absinthe anywhere other than Eastern Europe?
Yeah,
you can get it at liquor stores.
But I don't think it's quite the same as the traditional absinthe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
You can definitely buy it.
Yeah.
It's still like 70% or 80% alcohol. Like, it's still a ridiculous amount of alcohol.
Well, there was a time that I used to enjoy buying the Bacardi 151.
Yeah, that is bang for your buck right there.
Well, it's just stupid. It's something you do when you're a stupid kid that just thinks that the more alcohol is in something, that means it's better.
I'm going to agree with that. The more alcohol, the better.
Especially alcohol water.
Alcohol water? Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the best. I love it when I turn the tap on and I'm just hammered like 2 drinks in.
Oh, man, it sucks. This Everclear is polluted with 5% water. Gross.
Who put this water in my booze?
95% alcohol, great. 5% water? What the fuck is happening here? Get rid of this. But, I mean, I think that we had some tips for people on Halloween.
That is correct.
Right, Sean?
We brainstormed.
Do you have any tips for people on Halloween?
Halloween tips?
Yes. All girls should dress up as sexy ladybugs.
Just sexy ladybugs.
Just sexy ladybugs.
No sexy nurses.
No
sexy doctors.
Everyone should just dress up as
kitty cats,
cockroaches, and ladybugs.
No sexy drywall. Just sexy ladybugs
and cockroaches.
And
nothing sexier than a cockroach, if you ask me.
That's sending mixed messages.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, is your favorite movie Joe's Apartment? Come fuck the sexy cockroach. I just made a reference to an MTV movie no one has seen.
Everybody's seen Joe's Apartment.
Yeah,
and I
have. You have
seen
no
Joe's
idea.
Apartment.
I think
what's
it's one of the things that everyone's heard of.
Yeah.
But no one actually sees.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
You know who sees those movies? People that work at movie stores.
Mm.
People that work at movie stores end up watching everything.
So,
nothing better to do.
Yeah, let's go through some tips for the listeners.
Okay, I've got one. My first tip is, don't rape anybody.
That's a good tip.
I mean, it's not only a tip for Halloween. It's pretty much a tip for all the time.
Yeah, it's kind
of Halloween,
universal.
It's like, hey, Halloween, if you're inclined to rape, that might be the time where you think is the best time to do it. And I'm saying don't.
What's one exception of raping other rapists?
That's right. In a Dexter style raping of rapist situation. Right.
That is correct.
Fair enough. That's the one time you heard it here first, folks. Rape is appropriate in one particular instance. Raping a rapist. I think that happens in prison a lot. Sean?
That's possible.
Got a tip?
I do. I have a couple here. Disinfect your razors before you put them into apples. You don't want people to get sick, do you? That's just bad on your part.
Like, cut the children's mouths, great. Like, but yeah, I don't want that getting infected.
You don't want a staph infection in that mouth. That will not go away. It will, but it'll be really, really hard to do.
Another tip, don't give books to kids.
Do not give books to kids. They hate that.
Books are appropriate the rest of the year, but not at Halloween.
If you're going to commit crimes other than the aforementioned rape, which is not allowed, make sure you have a really good mask. It will also help if you wear
one that won't fall off.
And wear like a bulkier costume, because that will make you more difficult to identify.
That's true. That is very true.
Right? These are practical tips.
Very practical. Do not wear reflectors on your costume. Would you rather be safe or be committed to the person that you wanted to be for Halloween?
Yeah.
You got to commit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to see any reflectors.
Yeah. Dracula didn't have any fucking safety equipment.
Do support JD and Chantel Maroska listening to I'm a Little Teapot.
That's what you voted for?
Hours.
Did you vote for I'm a Little Teapot?
For 24 hours.
I did.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Right now, if you're listening, I don't know if this will be up in time, JD and Chantel Marostica are doing a 24-hour song marathon, something that JD has done in the past and we've talked about on the show. And this time, they are allowing the song to be chosen
by the highest bidder.
By the capitalist system. Whichever song gets the most dollars, they will listen to for 24 hours, with the proceeds going to Smile Train to help third world children have their cleft palates fixed.
Only $250 per child.
$250, and you can give a child a whole new life for them to starve to death.
So if you're listening to this, go over to placeholdershow.com, and I believe they have something up there.
Yeah, and you give JD and Chantel money at shows. And, egg every 13th kid that comes to your door, unless they're accompanied by a parent.
Unless you don't know how to count.
Yeah, well, right. Then just egg all.
Just egg everybody, if that's the case.
Just like your house, lights off, no candy, all locked up. But you're hiding in the bushes with, like, flats and flats of eggs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you should egg every child. I think it should just be, like, random.
Just a random egg.
Select your victims at random. Just Sean will be stalking around Transcona in his kick-ass costume.
Absinthe
just like eggs. It's like a bottle of absinthe in one hand and like raw eggs in the other. Yeah. And he's just running around the back alleys lobbing eggs at children.
And cats.
I'm going to mess that cat up with an egg.
Yeah. Exactly. Fuck you, cats.
You're sticky now, cat.
Yeah. Egg on your face, motherfucker.
You're going to roll in some dirt, and your owner is going to have to bathe you.
That's right. If you even have an owner, you fucking homeless cat.
Stray cat.
Anyways, I'll throw off another one here.
Okay.
Do not buy a joke Halloween costume. No matter how funny you think it is, it isn't. That means don't buy that totally baked potato costume. Because that isn't funny to even a 13-year-old.
Another tip, if you're 15 or under, dress scary, not slutty.
Yeah.
That is just wrong.
Yes. That is a big, big tip.
Slutty costumes are for adults.
You know what? I'm even against the sexy costumes, because I thought Halloween was supposed to be scary, you know? Like, when did people get the memo that it wasn't supposed to be scary?
Have you ever had the cum scared out of you, Sean?
I can't say I have, no. But I guess that's what scary porn is for.
Well, see, my ass is haunted. The Bill Patz story.
The Bill Patz story?
It's gerbils. We've been over this.
I was going to bring that up when you said the gerbils, but I was like, yeah.
Okay, you know what? Children are already too overweight. That's so don't give out candy. Instead, give each child a shiny nickel and an explanation of compound interest.
Yeah. And that goes a long way, too.
Exactly.
That is fucking planning.
If you give a child a candy, he'll eat for a day. You give a child an explanation of compound interest, and he will retire at a reasonable age,
at like,
and he will be able to survive properly.
And he might even give you,
that's what they say?
Yeah.
Another good economic advice, don't become a comedian.
Yeah.
You want to be rich.
Terrible, terrible way to make money. Decorate your house with the most graphic depiction of murder you possibly can. Nothing says happy Halloween like a beheaded corpse. Make your own if you have to.
Or a barrel of pig faces.
Or a barrel of pig faces. Or dead baby chicks strewn across your front lawn.
If you must,
either way,
and if you must give out candy, refuse it to any child dressed as a celebrity.
Yeah, definitely. If a kid comes up as Charlie Sheen and starts claiming that he's winning for candy, just punch him in the face and close the door. Because that kid doesn't need to exist.
Give him a nickel, tell him about compound interest.
And then punch him in the face.
And then punch him in the face.
Little Charlie Sheen. Don't stick all your money up your nose.
Compound interest.
Awesome. So, yeah, have a happy Halloween and give some kids economic advice.
Halloween.
I have been living in this apartment for 3 Halloweens, and I have had a grand total of 0 trick-or-treaters.
Really?
And I have had candy every single time, just to be sure. The first time there was way too much candy. Once I realized that they were not coming, there's been less candy each year. But they still don't show.
So you're not just going to buy candy this year?
No, I think I'm not going to. I think I'm going to maybe go to Sean's and scare children with him.
Yeah.
Instead. Which was,
get some absinthe in us.
Right. I mean,
walk around Transcona and scare children.
Here's one thing that there's definitely one thing that I hate about Halloween, and it's that when Halloween rolls around, people just go and see terrible movies for no good reason, just because it's the scary time of year.
I see terrible movies all year round.
But every year at Halloween, there's guaranteed to be one really terrible movie that is extremely successful just because it's Halloween. And this year, this weekend, it's Paranormal Activity 3.
Yeah.
This weekend, Paranormal Activity 3 made $54 million in its first week.
Really?
To be number one. And I think the subtitle for this movie is Paranormal Activity 3. Yes, that's right. 3.
We made 3 of these tricky camera movies.
Like,
the first one was even a stretch. Like, I mean, it was intense, but for the wrong reasons. Like, there wasn't anything really intense about it. And that's what made you go, okay, is something going to happen? And then nothing happens. And then I just assume the other two movies are exactly like that. Like, just nothing happens until the very end.
So is it like they're trying to do like a Blair Witch Project type thing?
Well, how the first movie was.
Are the scares, are there Blair Witch surprise scares, right? Like, it's not about...
Not even.
Or is it about like a harvesting an atmosphere of creepiness?
Yeah, they try to create that atmosphere that like something's going to happen at any second, but then nothing does.
But then it doesn't?
Yeah.
So and they just try to hold like you in that block. Suspense, like you're waiting, and then when you finally like, okay, nothing's going to happen, then BAM!
Not even then.
Oh.
No, all the scary shit happened. They've made $54 million. People love that shit. Mm-hmm. People love, like, I think you could just film a rock for 2 hours and people would watch it.
So, as long as at the end, like a ghost pops up.
Yeah, like a ghost is like, ah, rocks. $54 million opening weekend.
Who
rocks
needs two. Story? Stories for losers.
Yeah.
We don't need to make movies with story anymore.
Oh,
Transformers
3, story.
Paranormal Activity 3. What? Yeah, there's these movies.
Saw 25.
Pornos have more plot than Paranormal Activity 3 or Saw 10 or.
I'm so glad they're done with the Saw movies.
For now, just wait. They'll start remaking them in
Jigsaw
5 years.
Jigsaw in space. You Saw have 10 X. seconds to open the space doors to get the space key.
Saw versus Jason.
That's going to happen.
In space.
I'm writing that movie.
Freddy versus Jason versus Saw versus The Hellraiser.
Versus Paranormal Activity 400.
Paranormal Activity X in space. number two, I mean, I love movies. We'll focus on the movies here a little bit. Yeah, I like the movies. Box office. Number two, we have Real Steel.
Yeah.
Real Steel, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie.
That's right.
In its third week, it made $11.3 million. That's right. Number one, $54 million. Number two, $11
million. What? How does that work?
I'm saying that's what they made
Total.
In this weekend. The number two movie made 11.3, and the number one made 54. That's a pretty big difference. Like a lot. So yeah. It's like if you went to the movies this weekend, you saw something terrible. Is basically what this says to me.
I've heard good things about Real Steel.
It has made $67 million total, and it's about robots that box. I don't know how familiar you are with the movies that are currently playing at them. But Real Steel is about a world where boxing has been replaced by robot boxing. And Hugh Jackman, when I first saw the trailers, I thought that like Hugh Jackman is controlling the robot so that it's I thought that it was like human boxing, except that the humans aren't getting really injured anymore.
Just the robots.
The robots are getting take the damage instead. Yeah. That's what I thought. But that's not what it is. In the movie, Hugh Jackman has to build a robot and train it to box. Because that's how computers work.
Yeah.
So Hugh Jackman is a life coach.
He's a life coach.
He's a robot life coach.
Robot boxer. He's going left, left, go left,
yield.
Go right, stop, punch. He just says punch every direction. He's a life coach for a boxing robot, and every direction is punch, punch it with your left, punch it some more. Punch it less. Whoa, punch less. Less punching. More punching.
Check out the robot female to the left.
Sexy robot audience?
Sexy robot audience. Is there any other kind?
Maybe.
Aisha has competition is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, from Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman? That is some pretty big competition.
That's hefty competition.
I don't know if she's going to follow
I imagine up. She's more affordable. I don't want to say she's cheap or anything.
No, yeah.
But I imagine she's more affordable than Hugh Jackman.
Than Hugh Jackman. Yeah, I
as a life coach.
As a life coach.
I mean,
Hugh Jackman would probably charge like $100 a minute.
Oh, at least. And I mean, he's like, he doesn't want to do too much coaching. He's like, I want to do the acting thing. I like doing the acting thing. I like doing the dancing around and singing thing.
Yeah.
I'm Hugh Jackman. That's what I do. I can coach life. I'm great at coaching life. But that's not my passion. That's not what I want to do. I want to act. So if you want me to coach your life, that's going to cost you.
Plus, you can only coach things that are inorganic.
Oh.
That's true.
He'll coach your computer to hide the porno that you're looking for.
He can't handle anything with real human emotion.
For some reason, this is making me think of like Adam and Dexter and Hugh Jackman all getting together for some sort of killing people who have books overdue and trying to teach them.
I think more of getting together for tea and
tea.
I feel nothing. Me either.
Be a fly at the wall on that tea party. Adam and Hugh Jackman and Dexter just chilling.
How did
Dexter and Hugh Jackman are trading like workout tips.
Yeah.
And Adam's trying to, trying to tell them about the bringing their books back on time.
How did Johnny English Reborn do in the box office this week?
Not in the top five.
Oh, really?
That's one of those movies that's been out since the beginning of September in the rest of the world.
Oh, and
because
it just came over.
Because he's a big star. He's a big star everywhere else because Rowan Atkinson can be funny without speaking. That's why he's so popular. I think the reason he's so popular is just because physical comedy is like transcends cultures, right? Like,
I mean, it's very understandable in every language,
right?
Especially like British English.
Richard, the guy who plays Cosmo Kramer, was a physical stand-up comedian, and then he would just light his tie on fire, and that would be his whole act.
That was the closer.
He would just stand on stage for 5 minutes. Like this
with
stage,
a tie, oh.
And then just blow it out before it gets near his face.
That sounds
you
risky.
Know, that reminds me of like I remember when I used to watch like the. Do you guys ever see the Comic Relief stuff from that they did in the '80s? I think it was like Robin Williams and Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal, I think, started Comic Relief, and the idea was that it was a charity thing. It was like Farm Aid or whatever, but I know they did it for the San Francisco earthquake in the late 80s, shit like that. But I remember.
I think they did it for Katrina as well.
Probably. But I remember specifically watching one where Bobcat Goldthwait did his act. He did his 5 or 10 minutes or whatever while walking on hot coals the entire time.
Really?
Like, he had like an ankle bracelet and he bolted a raw steak to it. And then he was walking on hot coals, and it was supposed to be like, then you see that the steak is cooked at the end.
Nice.
And that was like, but it's just like, I'm like, okay, but that's not funny. Like, is it funnier if you tell jokes while walking on hot coals? Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
It's possible.
But that's what it made me think of.
But 80s were a different time back then. Like,
comedy.
Walking on hot coals was probably like the thing.
Gallagher was popular.
Exactly.
All bets were off. Nobody knew what comedy was. They were just accepting of everything.
Exactly. It was like the 1920s all over again.
Oh, the roaring 20s.
So what was number three? Hobo with a Gun?
Take me back. Number three, that's old, man.
I don't think that's been in theaters
number
for now.
Number three is Footloose.
Footloose.
Remake. 10.9 million. Second week, it's made $30 million.
It's got a catchy song. Footloose, break out your dancing shoes.
No, but Black Eyed Peas did it. They remixed it.
Really? That's a Kenny Loggins classic. I am ticked off. No one's fucking with Kenny Loggins.
Except the black-eyed motherfucking peas.
You know what? The best thing about the black-eyed peas is that they're on hiatus.
Oh, thank God.
Thank you.
You gotta love the black-eyed peas. They're supposed to be a singing group, and yet only one of them can sing. The other one is just a dancer. And then
taboo.
And then Fergie is supposed to be a singer, but she forgets the lyrics like half the time.
Bump it. Bump it. They're not hard lyrics, Fergie.
Yeah.
You should be able to figure it out. But Footloose, a movie where a young man accidentally travels through time to a town where it's believable that dancing is banned. Because dancing couldn't possibly actually be banned anywhere in 2011. He had to have traveled through time, I assume. Yeah. Because otherwise, no one would buy that.
That's
concept.
A good thing that that's what Footloose is about. Instead of someone who has a foot keeps falling off,
it's a Halloween movie. It's a Halloween movie about a guy like a zombie that his foot keeps falling. He's trying to get back to his girlfriend. He crawls out of his grave. He's trying to get back to his girlfriend.
He's trying
but
to
his
dance.
Foot keeps falling off, and a dog takes it, and he has to find the dog and get his foot back. And
it's just a whole thing.
I'd watch
it's a
that.
Whole thing. You know what? I remember there was a movie in like the late 80s or 90s called My Boyfriend's Back about like some girl's boyfriend dies and comes back as I don't remember if he's a zombie or not, but I remember that was a thing.
I vaguely remember that as
I know
well.
It was a thing.
Gotta love the songs from the late 80s. Like, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to.
I think
you
that's a lot older.
Cry too if it happened to you.
I'm pretty sure that's an older song than the late 80s. But that's my
that
opinion.
That was a Problem Child though. Which was in the late 80s.
Problem Child. Oh, my God.
All children are problems.
And the only solution is pro-choice.
And getting them to read books.
Yeah. Read a book. For all children listening to this podcast, first of all, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
That's some bad parenting.
If you're a child and you're listening to this, your parents did something wrong.
Hit your parents for me.
You probably already hate your parents, but you can hate them more now because they're not protecting you from this.
Yeah.
This is not for young impressionable minds. Too many gerbil ghosts.
Way too many.
Three Musketeers is the number four movie, however. In its first week, it made $8.8 million. And this is the movie that where the director is Paul W.S. Anderson.
Oh, boy.
And he proves that pretty 17th century costumes can't hide a terrible director who only makes awful movies. This guy is the guy who's made, he made like the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah.
And Aliens versus Predator.
Yeah.
And
Mortal Kombat.
Death Race. Like, this is not a guy. This is not an auteur, you know?
Yeah.
But really, he's just doing it for the money so that he can support his knitting hobby.
His knitting hobby. No,
like it's really
he's
expensive.
Married to Mila Jovovich, and he's the only one who can get her work. Like,
yeah, no doubt.
I think what's happened is they've gotten themselves into a catch-22 where Mila Jovovich started starring in this guy's movies, and it's gotten to the point now where because of her starring in those movies, no one else wants to hire her to be in any other movies, so her husband just has to keep making terrible movies so that she has jobs.
Let's make 5 Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, because there's another one coming out.
Yeah.
And Death Race 2.
Death Race 2?
Yeah, they're making Death Race 2.
I haven't seen the first Death Race.
No.
I'm going to be so lost.
Okay, well, we watched Crank High Voltage the other night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what? Death Race is like the Crank movies, except it's not trying to be terrible funny. Like, yeah. It's not trying to be campy.
Pretty much, Death Race 2, I'm sure it's going to be a good movie as long as you mute the volume and just watch people die.
Yeah, it's fun to watch other people die while you're doing your homework or something.
Yeah.
Reading a book, every once in a while you look up to see some dude, some prison convict dying. That's what you like. And rounding out our top 5 is The Ides of March, which is a politics movie with George Clooney and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that it's handsome and boring.
Ryan Gosling was really good in Breaker High and Young Hercules.
I liked Drive, though. I liked Drive. I saw Drive, and he was good in that. But he wears like a jacket with like a leather jacket with a dragon on the back. Like, like if you weren't super handsome and Ryan Gosling, you'd look like a real douche in that jacket.
Most likely, yeah. It's leather jacket with a dragon? Like, come on.
Yeah, come on. Get off it, Ryan.
Get it together,
Gosling.
Buddy.
You're handsome, though. I get it. I get it. I don't know. I guess George Clooney just gets to make whatever movies he wants now. Because he directs them and stuff. So if he wants any, but he keeps making politics movies. Right? Is like, even Siriano was kind of a political movie.
Yeah.
Then he made, what, like, Good Night and Good Luck and something about the good German. Weird, like, period stuff, and I don't know. My favorite period movie is Maxipad the movie with wings.
What year did that come out? I don't recall.
It's coming out next year.
I think what you're trying to say is you don't want to hear what George Clooney has to say about politics or what Braveheart has to say about the Jews.
Well, I definitely don't want to hear what Braveheart has to say about the Jews, but I probably agree with George Clooney on 95% of his political views, but if I'm going to watch a movie, it's usually not going to be a movie about politics, that's all, you know? And just,
no doubt.
Even if you're into politics,
you
why would you be into fictional politics?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think the appeal of politics is that it's real. You know, like, if you're into politics, it's not for, like, storylines and, I don't know.
Yeah, I got you.
Fictitious politics movies.
Although I did enjoy the Sarah Palin pornography.
Who's Nailin' Palin?
Didn't they make, like, 100 of those yet? It's like,
oh, yeah, probably.
Technology is too cheap.
But the Lady Gaga one was really bad.
Lady Gaga.
Like, it's like, we can't even have original ideas for porno anymore. Like, porno, the one kind of movie that has absolutely no standards whatsoever, no requirements for plot or characters or anything, really. And yet, it seems like all they do now is like, they're just anything that is real. Now porn is going to make a porn version of that.
Like Grand Theft Auto. They have a Grand Theft Auto for porn.
Really?
How do you even do that?
But not like a game, like a Grand Theft Auto porno movie?
No, it's a movie.
Yeah.
But it's like a Grand Theft Auto movie, porn movie where like Nico... It's one of the porn stars.
Cousin, go fuck my hooker!
Yeah, you know what though? I remember there's like a Sons of Anarchy porno.
Really?
And there's like now they're doing like Batman and Superman porno.
What bugs me about that is like there are a lot of dudes in Sons of Anarchy. Like there are like 3 women on that show.
So it's all gangbang.
Is it just a gangbang? Yeah.
Or not.
I take issue with gangbangs.
I mean, I've got nothing against gay porn.
That. I mean, since we got onto the topic of porn, yeah. Gangbang, I'm not interested in watching gangbangs.
My theory about gangbangs and watching really old men fucking young girls is it's trying to show how dirty girls can be because guys feel
exactly.
If they can fuck someone that hideous, then maybe I have a chance. It's really
so it's like wish fulfillment porn.
It's
pretty much, yeah. It's just like, yeah, I want someone that dirty or something.
It's really just going to deal with men's insecurity.
Or it's like, it's addressing like, oh, well, when I get old and gross, I could still maybe bang hot young chicks.
Exactly.
If
you're hung like a tree, that's the only catch. If you're not, you're fucking, you're done.
It's like, I can't find a girl, but that old man who is in a wheelchair can bang a girl. So maybe I do have hope after all.
Here's the new life plan: work really hard, then retire and start producing pornos. Wait till you're 60, retire, secure a reliable Cialis supply, and start hiring porn girls.
Yep.
But it's just about, not about when you're turning old, it's about now, seeing an old man getting fucked.
Oh, okay, so if this old man can like fuck chicks, what the hell, why shouldn't I be?
It's like John Duff fucking his young 20-year-old girlfriend. I feel like if he can fuck a 20-year-old, why can't I, since I already am 20 years old?
You're only 20 years old?
Yeah, 25.
Oh, 25. Well, that's kind of a big difference. I thought you were 20. I was like, wow, you're a fucking mature motherfucker for 20.
You're working on your master's, right?
I am.
Yeah, oh, nice. You wouldn't be working on your master's if he was 20. A Doogie Howser genius.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say.
I guess you could be a Doogie Howser library genius. They wouldn't make that show, though, I think.
No, I think you should stick with Secret Service.
He's 16, and he's already a master librarian.
Sexy librarian. No, do, because that's like all the other tunes, but...
Exactly.
Of course. We couldn't do it any other way. Oh, you know what? I had one more question for Adam. A language question. What's your favorite punctuation?
Oh, that's hard. I am really fond of the exclamation point.
Okay,
but
yeah,
I do love the comma.
Oh, the
and
comma.
I do love the dot comma looking one.
Semicolon?
Semicolon.
I'm a fan of the semicolon.
My favorite.
I love semicolon.
The silent bully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
You understand the semicolon or appreciate its use.
It's true.
It teases them and makes them feel uneducated. It says nothing itself, but it exploits the insecurities and shames the barely literate.
Definitely.
Semicolon. That's gotta definitely the best one. I have a well-fleshed out opinion on the topic.
This show is brought to you by the semicolon.
Yeah, this is.
And the Society for Proper Usage of Grammar.
This has been brought to you by the Flat World Society and the Society for the Phonetic Spelling of Words. Because that's a thing, too, I think.
Very possible.
I don't know.
The Flat World, that's like the phonics. Same period when the church ruled the world.
Yeah. The earth is flat. What? We just proved it's not. Devil!
Believe in Jesus or I'll kill you! Do it!
I command it. Okay.
So, should we get into this Dragon's Den business?
Oh, you want to do that?
Let's do a little bit of that.
We'll round out this episode with a little Dragon's Den. We decided this is the first time we're doing this, Adam. So we're gonna do a little like. Have you ever seen Dragon's Den? You know what it is?
I have.
It's right?
A bunch of people telling them, "I will not buy that idea, except for if you give me a peppermint."
Yeah. Like they gotta give you some royalties or some shit.
Yeah. It's a bunch of people telling a bunch of other people that their ideas are terrible. But we're going to do that. And so I'll start. I've got an idea here.
So we're going to try to buy this from Brett or not buy it.
Okay.
Okay. So my idea, now, you know, there's a lot of people out there that get heartbroken, right? You know, they get cheated on and it breaks their heart and, you know, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to express themselves or really make those emotions clear. So, you know, I think that we need to address this need. And what you do is it's when you find out that your partner is cheating on you, you get my mail order genital crabs and you put it in their underwear and then break up with them.
What are the profit margins on this? Yeah. How much money did you make?
Well, revenue.
You see, I think that, I mean, it's clearly there's some room for this to grow, but I'm not entirely sure what the projections are going to be, but that's not so
much. You don't
much
have any statistics.
Hey, but that's not entirely, that's not really consequential, because the real key to this is that the cost to produce it is almost nothing. I farm all of these genital crabs myself.
So how much do you send in like a normal package? Would it be like
well, that's the beauty. You only need a few and they take care of the rest themselves once they get situated.
So what stores have you already put your product in?
Well, right now we've got an online campaign, we've got some Facebook ads. Really, you know, it's we're targeting people who are being wronged. You know, AshleyMadison.com, we've got ads there. The dating site for people who are cheating. Right. We got ads there, which really maybe is the opposite place where it should be. But yeah, really, I really want to just focus on the fact that the costs are so low that the investment...
So it's just all profit.
You see, well, yeah, and I just need the startup capital in order to advertise it properly.
And how much are you asking for how much of the...
Honestly, I think, you know, a nice startup, you know, $30,000... to get just to start pushing it out there.
For how much of the business? Okay.
25%.
Each?
No, total. To whoever total funds it. Whoever.
It's pretty low.
I'm going to share 25%. Hey, I'm just asking for a little money. I'm not asking you to get in elbow deep to harvest
elbow
these genital
deep in
crabs.
Mail order crabs.
I just need a cash infusion. I don't need. I've got the genital crabs taken care of. So, what do you guys think?
Wow. I don't know. It's all profit, Adam.
You don't profit. Have to get a single genital crab on you. I'll
true.
Take care. I'm covered
he's
in
doing
them.
Everything. 25%. You
I
say.
Just don't see if there's any. Future in crabs. People are already having them all the time.
That is true.
I don't know what people do you know. But I...
People do have crabs elsewhere.
Well, yeah, but that's the beauty, because then the person that you give crabs to, they'll never know that you gave them the crabs, because people get crabs all the time.
So then what's the point? You're not... really sticking it in their face.
No, but you well, you, but you see, that's the thing. You feel the validation without having to start like a revenge war. An escalating
right.
conflict
yeah, yeah.
can be avoided.
But
you can
like
just
eating...
get your one little quick piece of revenge on your way out the door. And, you know, you can that just really helps you emotionally and psychologically resolve
the issues. I don't know. I
think
that have to pass. Life is hard enough as it is, and sucky things happen all the time. Without having to crab them up.
So you just don't like the negative nature of the business then?
No, I just think that sucky things are gonna happen to them anyway. You're just paying money for something that's going to happen to them regardless.
If they're cheating on you, they're going to run into genital crabs sooner or later?
Yep.
Okay.
That's true.
I mean, it's not like you're sticking gerbils up their ass.
That's also true.
I mean, but you wouldn't be the right person to be selling that business, would you? That would be Bill Patz.
That's Bill Patz's business. He might pitch that next time he's on the show.
I hope
so. I, for one, like making money on people's misfortunes. I am in, sir. You have got Woo-wee. My money.
Oh, there's going to be crabs from coast to coast,
crabs
son.
For
crabs
everyone.
For dinner.
The
crabs, it's what's for dinner.
I'm going to be FedExing crabs from coast to coast.
That is awesome.
There's going to be a lot of couriers that accidentally get crabs and don't know why. All right, Sean, did you have a... Were you going to put...
I do, but I don't feel too confident about it, so you guys got to bear with me.
Okay.
So, you know how the fashion industry has a lot of, like, the acid wash jeans and, like, the torn up...
Okay.
Like,
the faded t-shirts?
Yeah, faded t-shirts. Tied... Well, not necessarily tie-dyes, but, like, you know, like, ripped shirts hippies. Or whatever. Okay. I figure, why not go with the next level with pre-worn and pre-distressed sneakers? We're talking acid wash loafers and maybe, like, a couple sneakers with some cuts on them. And maybe, like, some stained shoes, like, maybe some, like, pre-mustard stains. Like, you just ate a hot dog while you were drunk on a street.
So what you're trying to tell me is you're selling used shoes?
No, they're not used shoes. They're brand new, but they have stains on them.
So they're for the person that wants to wear shoes, but not... Ones that they want,
no
new
ones
shoes.
That look clean.
Like, I want new shoes,
yeah,
but I don't want to wear shoes that look new.
What's the staining process? Do you use chemicals or
no? We use natural mustard, natural ketchup, and we get drops in little Ford cups, and we just get the little drops. So we need maybe three or four.
So do you paint shapes on with the ketchup? Do you
no make shapes?
Flowers.
Shapes are maybe for the kids. We will probably do shapes later if we get enough revenue.
Because I'd be interested in a mustard flower tulip on my.
Well, that's the thing. We can make custom shapes for you.
Custom stains?
Custom stains, custom shapes,
now,
all kinds.
For your advertising campaign, do you see there being any celebrity endorsement that could help further your brand?
Definitely, definitely.
Who, like an athlete or a celebrity, like who do you see, excuse me, who do you see as the pitch person?
I'm thinking Eddie Pepitone looking very depressed, holding a hot dog. What happened to my sneakers? Oh, I bought them like that. Bam! That's shoes right there.
Of course, everyone's going to buy it when they see see a middle-aged, depressed man
holding a hot dog.
Holding a hot dog, staring at the stain on his shoe.
That's right.
And going, wait, no, I bought them.
Oh, wait a second.
So you wouldn't try to get product placement from Jersey Shore...
Well, that's a different kind of stain, and we're not sure if we want to go that direction.
Well, there could be some cross promotion with the genital crabs there.
Exactly. That is true. That is true. Well, there's a lot of options. We are considering a lot of things.
What's the style of the pre-distressed shoes? Running shoes?
Like I said, the aforementioned, we have sneakers that are stained with ketchup and mustard.
Right.
We have loafers that are dipped in sulfuric acid. For an hour.
You're not going to shine those motherfuckers.
No, there's no way. They're ruined before you even put them on.
So that's like a great way to like play a trick on a guy at an airport who shines shoes.
Exactly.
You wear your acid loafers and like, shine them up, Johnny.
And then he can't do it. It's fun. It's fun for everybody. And we also have cut up sneakers like you were in a really bad knife fight, you know, and someone was really drunk and kind of like missed completely and hit your shoe.
So they're like, check it out, I'm dangerous?
Yeah, exactly. Like your shoes have seen Nom.
Like my shoes were in a knife fight.
Like your shoes were in a knife fight.
Check
basically.
It out, I'm tough. My shoes were in a knife fight.
Yeah. I can definitely see a big market for that.
I think so.
By the Wiggers.
It's a growing population. Who do you see as your target audience, John?
Mostly Skid Row.
The band?
Yes.
Sebastian Bach. Sebastian Bach, the other members of Skid Row.
Yeah.
They're going to wear knife fight shoes.
Going to wear knife fight shoes.
That's going to be, that could be your pitch man.
And how
you
much
have,
are you?
You could have Sebastian Bach, and he could give you the, take these shoes out of my back. Knife fight shoes.
And how much are you looking for each pair of shoes?
Each pair of shoes will run roughly $100 a pair. And that's, you know, that's the bare minimum. I could go higher.
Are you talking about $100 on top of the price of the shoes, or are you talking about $100 for the shoes?
You know what? Just for confusing me, I'm going to bump it up to $200 per pair.
Yeah, because you know what? Honestly, I think I was
charging a little less with $100, so I think I'm going to go $200 a pair.
Okay, because if you want my startup capital, personally. If you want me to fund this project,
okay.
I think this is more of like a luxury product.
Yeah,
this
is definitely.
Like a collectible sneaker.
You're going to want to wear this at like the most popular, like most important parties of your life.
Yeah, it's like a gourmet shoe.
Yeah, it's not like a mainstream thing. It's for selective.
It's for guys like Turtle from Entourage that collect sneakers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? It's for sneaker.
These
collectors.
Are collector's edition. Oh,
collector items.
We could have collector's editions.
There are these. Are they pre-distressed by robots or by hand?
Well, we do the ketchup stains by hand. That's us.
That's worth a lot. Like that's
yeah.
That's like an artisan shoe to me.
200. That's like a deal compared to
that takes the other a lot ones. Of time. And
that's right. A lot of energy gets put into these shoes. Now, so you do the distressing yourself in house.
Yeah.
The shoes. Mm-hmm. I assume the shoes themselves are constructed in China, Taiwan.
You know what? I'm not even sure where they come from.
You just like. Where do you don't know where you're getting your shoes?
I got to be honest. Just, no, I don't.
They just show up. And just, they just
show up.
Like
at my
they
door.
Show up and you put sauce on them and grab an X-Acto
knife. Ketchup, dip them in acid for an hour.
So
okay,
yeah.
You don't really know where you're getting your shoes. And
that's getting it dicey.
I mean, there could be a civil war that could stop
the fact. This is all you guys need to know.
Shoe supply is in danger.
I make the shoes. Look distressed. You don't need to know where the shoes come from. It is not your business.
I do if I'm going in to business with you.
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious? Okay. They are made by small babies in Atlantis.
They do good work in the small babies.
Yeah. Atlantean shoes. Huh?
Atlantean shoes, yeah.
Put together by Atlantean babies.
Yeah.
I'm on board. How much do you want?
I'm going to ask for... 100 dollars.
For what percentage of your business? You need some new X-Acto knife blades?
Yeah, that's
true. Get a new
can
of ketchup? A map
okay,
for Atlantis?
You know what? Okay. 5% of 400%. is what I'm asking. Can you guys do that
for $100?
$100? You know, I've got a considerable amount of capital, so I mean, $100 is an investment.
That's pretty affordable.
That's worth a dice roll from me.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
Are you on board?
Well, it looks like you already have one buyer, and the two of us
get on this train, Adam. This
yeah,
is,
man. There's
this
room
is only
for...
going to the top.
I don't know. How about $75 and I'll promote you on Library Outreach? Yeah.
$75. Do I look like a fucking whore, Adam? $75? Are you fucking kidding me?
$100.
That is $25 less than I'm asking for. I will take it. I win.
Thank you for tuning in to Medium Clever's Dragon's Den. You can catch me and Sean and Adam performing stand-up comedy Thursday nights, The Standard on Sherbrooke, Sunday nights, The Cavern on Osborne. Pay attention. Other things happen. Sean's the scientist on some episodes of the week thus far, available
true.
Online. We've got the wonderful YouTube show, Library Outreach. Yeah, that Adam's got. Wonderful. Check it all out. Facebook, we've got a Medium Clever page on Facebook, mediumclever.com. Check it out. We're in iTunes. If you like it, give us reviews. If you don't like it, fuck off. And you just
fuck on.
Thanks for listening. Like if you've gotten to this point where you're hearing me now, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank
I mean,
you.
We have fun doing it.
Thank you
good
for not turning it off in the first 5 minutes. And
exactly.
Thank you for having me
that
on your show.
Plausible.
Wonderful. Yeah, thanks again, for coming
Adam.
In, Adam.
Thanks, Brant Bobby.
And Brant Bobby, Mind and the Switches and Knobs, People's Champ.
People's Champ.
See you next time. Medium Clever.
Bye.